Okay, great stuff for you today. Welcome back. It's Justin, Fully Live Athlete Pastor Channel. This is day 53 of the Online Bible Reading Club. Now, today we're going to be reading together Numbers 3 and 4 and Mark chapter 3, 20 through 35. Let's get into it. So you're going to be noticing in Numbers 3 and 4 that it's, again, one of the least maybe interesting passages you're going to read in Numbers. Numbers is not just a census. It is better described, as we saw yesterday, journey through the wilderness. It's from Mount Sinai all the way to the edge of the Promised Land, okay? So they're going to be moving through the wilderness, and this is the intro material where God is instructing them on how to carry the tabernacle and how to arrange themselves and then how to do that orderly when they camp. And that's the first two chapters. Now we're looking at, well, who's going to be tasked with? One of the 12 tribes is going to be uniquely tasked with caring for the sanctuary and guarding it, guarding the instruments, guarding all of it, taking care of it, and making sure the people don't get up in there and get destroyed, as has happened several times in their history thus far. You don't want to come into the presence of God without a mediator and with inappropriately. And so that's the task, the unique task of the Levites. And so they are not going to have an agricultural calling like the other 11 tribes, but they are going to have a calling that is going to particularly be related to this job to guard it. And that's, think about valuable things that we guard, like, you know, precious jewels in a museum, and there's very elaborate security systems and people tasked with that. That's kind of what God has in mind here, is that worship is the center of their life, it's the center of their camp, it's the center of their camp as they're moving. In their formation, and then when they get to the land, they're going to have this in the middle, and someone needs to take care of it. Worship is a center. That's what we're made for. We're made to glorify God and enjoy Him. So as you think about that, consider the valuable things that we ensure, the things that we protect, and who is guarding you? Who is guarding your worship? Now, I've heard Christian maturity is the moment we begin to be responsible for ourselves and for other people. Under who is your care in your household and in your life that you need to care for? Well, thankfully, we all are responsible for ourselves and for others, but God has given, as He did elder or Levitic Levites in the Old Testament, to care for the tabernacle. Now Christ in Ephesians 4 goes and takes captives and brings them home as spoils of his redemptive victory. And now He's given gifts to the church, and those are in the form of men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And those shepherds care for the church in order to build them up for the work of ministry. That's Ephesians 4:16. So as you look at that passage, consider how God's given the Levites in the Old Testament this role of no vocational calling outside. They're not making food for themselves, and the other tribes are giving to support these men who have been called full-time into this work of caring for and guarding worship. And that's the same with today, the pastors and elders in the church, is that they are tasked, because it's center of their life, because it deserves a full-time calling, it needs to be supported by the church. And so the church gives to that end to make this happen and to make sure that you have a full-time shepherd. Now, God could, of course, do this Himself. He is a true King and infinite, eternal, and omnipresent, all-powerful, all these things. But He uses people in those roles, men, and to be heralds and ambassadors of His kingdom. As Jesus sent the apostles and include them in His ministry and the prophets, He uses pastors and teachers today as well, as he used Levites in the Old Testament. So think about that. So you've got guards. Now, what's fascinating when you get to the New Testament, you got to have guards. You got to guard yourself. You need to be knowing what's your purpose and who are you going to serve. And what's interesting is the leaders in the New Testament here and Jesus' family criticize Him as being insane, and they say that He's possessed by a demon. And that, and he responds with, "Well, I'm not casting out Satan by Satan. I'm not using a demon." Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to curse him. They're trying to prevent him from doing his ministry. If they could accuse him of such things credibly, then he would be killed. And that's what they're up to here. But Jesus says, "No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man. Then he may plunder his house." And that's a great, another great picture of what we just talked about in Ephesians 4, is that Christ binds the strong man and then plunders his kingdom. We saw in Genesis 3 when God says, "I will put enmity between the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent." Enmity means hostility, and what happened at the fall was that everyone aligned against God. The whole creation was against God. And what God's doing is he's tying up the strong man and stealing his goods that he had stolen. Satan had stolen this world. Death reigns in this world. Death is not natural. All these things that and sin and death and this and Satan who are reigning in this world are they're aliens. They don't belong here. And God's going to tie them up and route their kingdom and bring gifts to the church, which is these saints who bless us. And I've been blessed by the gifts that Christ has given the church, and I hope to be a blessing, and I hope you will be a blessing. So I hope this is helpful to you. As you think about this passage, also note the passage about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If you look at verse 28 and 29 of chapter 3, it says, "Whatever blasphemies they utter will be forgiven the children of man, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." And it says, "For they were saying he has an unclean spirit." Now, what is he getting at here? Have we committed the unpardonable sin or unforgivable sin? And I would say that is a very good question, and one that we need to ask ourselves, absolutely, because we do not want to be unpardonable, guilty of an eternal sin. And what is the sin, he says there? It says that they are saying he has an unclean spirit. They were saying he is of the devil. He is that ultimately, so someone to an example of this today would be someone who says that following Jesus is the ultimate folly. Someone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit means someone who blasphemes Jesus and the way of life through Jesus. And I think that's a clear definition. Go read the text. It's a clear definition from the text of what that is. It's someone who Jesus is pointing to himself here as the way, the truth, and the life, and someone's going to dispute that and call someone who is following Christ, you must be following a demon. You must be following folly because this is the most absurd thing ever. So that's today. That's the Bible reading club for today. I'd love to hear your questions on this. Always a good question and discussion about these things. But hey, take it easy. If you're all the way through this, like it and subscribe, comment, all those things. And we'll see you on day 54 as you journey through Mark and Numbers together. God bless you.